So this morning's reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 5, text 79 to text 89, the activities of Shakshi Gopal. The elderly Brahmana thought, since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he will certainly come to prove my statement. The atheistic son thought, it is not possible for Gopal to come and bear witness. Thinking thus, the father and son agreed. The young Brahmana took this opportunity to speak. Please write down on a paper in black and white so that you may not again change your word of honor. All the assembled people got this statement down in black and white, and taking the signature of agreement from both of them, served as the mediators. The young Brahmana then said, will all the gentlemen present please hear me? This elderly Brahmana is certainly truthful and is following religious principles. He had no desire to break his promise, but fearing that his kinsmen would commit suicide, he deviated from the truth. By the piety of the elder Brahmana, I shall call the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a witness. Thus I shall keep his truthful promise intact. Hearing the emphatic statement of the younger Brahmana, some atheistic in the meeting began to cut jokes. However, someone else said, after all, the Lord is merciful, and if he likes, he can come. After the meeting, the young Brahmana started for Vrindavan. Upon arriving there, he first offered his respectful obeisances to the deity and then narrated everything in full details. He said, My Lord, you are the protector of Brahminical culture and you are also very merciful. Therefore, kindly show your great mercy by protecting the religious principles of us two Brahmanas. Okay, this is the verse on the board. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, I am not thinking of becoming happy by getting the daughter as a bride. I am simply thinking that the Brahmana has broken his promise, and that is giving me great pain. Purpose. It was not at all the intention of the young Brahmana to get the daughter of the elderly Brahmana in marriage and thus enjoy material happiness and sense gratification. It was not for that reason that the young Brahmana went to Vrindavan to ask the Supreme Personality of Godhead to act as a witness. His only concern was that the elderly Brahmana had promised something, and if Gopal did not bear witness to the transaction, then the older Brahmana would incur a spiritual blemish. Therefore, the young Brahmana wanted to protect and help. Young Brahmana wanted the protection and help from the deity. The young Brahmana was thus a pure Vaishnava, and he had no desire for sense gratification. He wanted only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the older Brahmana, who was also a Vaishnava and very much devoted to the Lord. Om Agyana Smandandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuzulmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing with these activities of Shakshi Gopal, namely the pastime where the older Brahmana has pledged his daughter to the young Brahmana as his wife. As we discussed last time, that the elder Brahmana was very much concerned that he would give his young daughter out of great love and affection for his daughter to a suitable person who will take care of his young daughter and take up the responsibility from father to the husband. As we understand from Srila Prabhupada, that in the Varnashram system, when a girl child is born, she is under the protection of the father. Later on, when a suitable marriage partner is found, then she is handed over to the suitable person so that she is taken care of. And later on, in her older days, when she's a little elderly, and maybe the husband has passed away, then the elder son, or in some cases, the elder son-in-law, would take care of the mother till she departs from the material world. Now, in this section where we are studying from verse 79 to 89, it is very clearly mentioned here that the sons of the elder Brahmana were not very happy to see their sister being married to a young Brahmana who is not very well-to-do materially. He's a very simple devotee. But as we study from this recitation of this story, the young Brahmana has got very, very good qualities, and he is an actual perfect candidate to take care of the Brahmana's daughter. And in this purport, Prabhupada is mentioning very clearly two designations, that not they are just Brahmanas, but they are Vaishnava. The young Brahmana is a Vaishnava, and the elder Brahmana is also a Vaishnava. Now, we understand that Vaishnava is a higher principle. It's a higher principle than the Brahmana. Although, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvanya Maya System Guna Karma Vibhagasya, that by Guna and Karma, the section is divided into four Vanas and four Ashrams. So the four Ashrams are Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihastha Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram, Sannyasi Ashram. And four Vanas are the Sudras, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, and the Brahmanas. But the higher principle than the Brahmana is a Vaishnava. And here this young Brahmana is very much concerned that because the elder Brahmana is also a great Vaishnava, means he is a devotee of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Now sometimes you may be a Brahmana by qualities, but you may not be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You may be a devotee of Goddess Durga or Lord Shiva or Lord Ganesha or many of the other demigods. You're still a Brahmana, but you are not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to distinguish here, Prabhupada is very clearly stating that the Brahmana, the elder Brahmana and the younger Brahmana, both were Vaishnava. Vaishnava means the devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the younger Brahmana is very much concerned that the older Brahmana could not fulfill his promise. So the conversation is taking place here between the sons of the elder Brahmana and the assembled villages. And he is saying that this is not a very good proposition because you're forcing this Brahmana, the elder Brahmana, to break his promise. Now, the principle of Brahmana is that he is always truthful. And he is very honest to his words. He never breaks his principle. This is given in the Bhagavad Gita, Samo Dhamo Tapo Saucham. The verse in the 18th chapter, I think it takes 42. Very clearly says, these are the qualities by which a Brahmana works. So there Krishna is not talking about a Brahmana who is a devotee of Lord Shiva or Goddess Durga or the demigods, but he's talking about the Supreme Lord himself, who are very high class Brahmanas, full of wonderful qualities. Now also, Rupa Goswami has elaborated these 26 qualities of a pure devotee in the Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar Devotion. So one of the qualities there is that he is also an honest. Honest means he keeps his word. He doesn't lie. And it is mentioned that because the young Brahmana was fearful that the elder Brahmana was going to break his promise, not because he doesn't accept, you know, he's not a very good Vaishnava, but he's been emotionally blackmailed by his children, namely his son. So he's saying that if you go ahead with this, and give our sister to this young brahmana in marriage, then we will commit suicide and we will give up our lives. So of course, the elder brahmana is now in a dilemma here. You die if you do, and if you don't do, you still die. You know, he's kind of caught off. If he gives his daughter, he will still incurring sinful activities because he's abating suicide. And of course, in legal terms, if you abate someone to commit suicide, it is also a criminal offense. Never mind Vedic principles. But even in material law, it is not acceptable. So the brahmana, the elder brahmana would be implicated in that. So now he's thinking what to do. And on the other hand, he is probably weighing out the reactions of the two sinful activities, abating for his son to commit suicide and hand the daughter to a young brahmana who is worthy of it, or break his promise and not give his daughter into the marriage to the young brahmana. So therefore, the young brahmana is very much concerned, as Prabhupada mentions here, that he is not at all interested in getting the young girl as his wife for sense gratification, material enjoyment. But he's more concerned for the brahmanical principles. So we must understand that this is the higher principle, that he, although the young girl was very beautiful and very attractive, he was not so much concerned for that. More he was concerned for the actual principles of Vedic culture. So he then said that in order to avoid the elder brahmana committing this offense, which surely will send him to hellish condition of life, because one who breaks a promise can very much incur a heavy sinful activity, a heavy sinful reaction, and go to hellish planets. And again, the young brahmana was thinking, I don't want to be also in the position to send the elder brahmana to hellish condition. And that way, he will also be incurring brahman aparadha. As we all understand from the prayer we sing, many times Prabhupada has introduced us, Namo Brahmana Devaya Go Brahmanitaya Jagataya Krishna Govindaya Namo Namaha. The Lord is the lover and shelter of the brahmanas and the cows. So of course, the young brahmana was not very much interested in incurring this sin on his head and live through his life that it, because of him, the elder brahmana had to break his promise. Because if he did not serve the elder brahmana wouldn't have promised him his daughter, and none of this would have happened. But of course, this has happened by the divine providence of the Lord, his Lord's arrangement. Everything happens by transcendental arrangement of the Lord to interact certain pastimes or to teach the ordinary mortals in this world a very important lesson. So here, in the conversation going on between the villagers, the elder brahmana, their son, and the younger brahmana, in the talk, as we hear from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that the other villagers who are atheists, they were joking that how can God, in a form of deity, come here as a witness? Because they did not believe and have faith in the Supreme Lord. So they were making fun. Others who were devotees, they said, yes, there is nothing impossible for the Lord. He can come as a witness. So the young brahmana then makes his way to Vrindavan. And it's not a short journey from where the brahmana, elder brahmana is staying to where Vrindavan is. And he didn't have a flight from Bhuvaneshwar to Delhi and then Delhi to Vrindavan. He had to walk. You know, so it was an ordinary journey. It was a very, very difficult journey going through the forest where he would risk his life, you know, where he could be attacked by the dacoits or wild animals. But nonetheless, he was so fixed in his principles of brahmana that come what may, even at the risk of his own life, he will try to do his best. Of course, when he reaches Vrindavan, as we hear from the verses here, first thing he went and he paid his obeisances to the Lord. And then he prayed to the Lord and said, Dear Lord, you are the protector of dharma. You are the protector of religion. So please kindly come and fulfill your obligation as a witness to this act which took place in front of you. And free the elder Brahmana from committing this offense. And he then, of course, Gopal goes with the young Brahmana to be a witness. But the most important aspect for this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where we can learn is the principle of honesty, principles of a Brahmana. So when we become a devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna, we are not just given the position of a Brahmana, but we are given position of a Vaishnava. Now Vaishnava is full of wonderful qualities which are complementing the Supreme Lord, because these qualities are coming from the Supreme Lord. And therefore, when a Vaishnava is full of these wonderful qualities, then he is like the fragrant flower of that plant which is producing the most attractive flower with the fragrance and beauty. So Vaishnava, when he is embodying all these principles in his personality, then he becomes that glorious flower which is worthy to be placed at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, we are a thorn in the lotus feet of the Lord, which is not a very pretty good thing to do, because if you prick the Lord with a thorn, he is not going to be very happy with us. So therefore, let us all become wonderful flowers which are worthy of placing at the lotus feet of the Lord. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are supposed to develop all these qualities. Now, it is not that these qualities are developed externally. These qualities are already there in every single living entity. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivam Sajiva Bhuta Jiva Sanatana, that you are all my parts and parcels. So as we are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, therefore we have the same qualities as the Supreme Lord. But unfortunately, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that due to our association with material energy from time immemorial, from the very beginning of our existence in the material world, we have been influenced by the modes of material nature, and therefore we have developed all these bad qualities which is suppressing the beauty of the soul. So one time I was asked that how these qualities can come into us. I said, these qualities doesn't come into us. These qualities are already there. Only we have to clear out all the mess surrounding it, and then the beauty will come. So there is an example is given, is that if the garden is unkept, then it is overrun by weeds. And then the weeds take over, then the beautiful ornamental flower, plants which are growing there as a beautiful decoration will all be covered by the weeds. And therefore you won't see the beautiful ornamental flower plants. And not only that, but sometimes the growth of the flowers will be stifled by the weeds. So it's a question of weeding it out. All the weeds or the anathas in the heart which are suppressing these qualities. And this is also given by Krishna's Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya is an expert gardener and is teaching us how to weed out all these weeds of anartha from our heart. And when you take out all the weeds of anartha from our hearts, then the soul becomes its glorious self. And when the soul is free from all these coverings of anarthas, then of course all these wonderful qualities naturally come. And it is externally manifested in your activities. So when we see a devotee who is very much free from all the anarthas, he's very pure-hearted, he has all the wonderful qualities. And he is what we describe, that he's himself, he's effulgent, because the soul is now manifesting all the wonderful qualities in his personality. Otherwise, when we are still overwhelmed by the anarthas in our heart, and the soul is covered by all the anarthas, then, of course, we'll be dressed as a devotee, forehead with a nice tilak. Sometimes, you know, instead of wearing just regular kunti mala, we have all these fancy neck beads with all kind of decorations. Go to Vrindavan and buy the best and display, yes, see, I am devotee of Krishna. You know, and these are external decorations. But in the behavior of in oneself, you're very duplicitous. You cheat. You lie. You're unclean. Not just unclean externally, but unclean in your thoughts. And therefore, when you have all these anathas, then you will display those anathas in your actions and activities. So we have to be very careful that when we are given this position of Vaishnava, then we really try our level best to free ourselves from all the anathas in our hearts and develop these qualities. In fact, it is an obligation for us to develop these qualities and let them manifest again in this all glorious way. Otherwise, being a devotee of Krishna but not following the principles of freeing oneself from anarthas is also a dharma or irreligious. And as we see from here from this particular recitation of the story of Sakshi Gopal, that if you are irreligious, then it is considered sinful. So it is very much on our individual selves to free ourselves from all the anarthas. Otherwise, we will be in the same dilemma as the Brahmana here, that on the one hand, we want to become a devotee of Krishna and the body of devotees whom we are associating, they are helping us to develop good qualities and an attitude of serving the Lord and His devotees. On the other hand, we also develop this offensive mentality, and then we create offenses against Vaishnavas. So if knowingly we commit offense against a Vaishnava, no doubt there is a heavy penalty to pay for. But unknowingly also, there is a penalty to be paid. It's not that if it's done unknowingly, then Krishna will turn a blind eye and say, well, you didn't know about it anyway, so it's okay. No, Krishna doesn't take it lightly. He takes it very seriously, any offense committed against any Vaishnava. Now, we sometimes get into this mindset and start judging who is worthy of offering respect and who is not worthy of offering respect. In other words, oh, he's just a new devotee, he's just come in, and therefore, you know, he's not highly elevated. But someone who is in the movement for a longer period, maybe he's either in a senior devotee category or a sannyasi, or he's worthy of offering respects. Even in the late 80s, there was a lot of mindset going on in a lot of devotees in our movement, where unfortunately some of these wonderful Vaishnavas had difficulties in their spiritual life, and they became a victim of Maya's allurement, and they had a fall down. So the mindset was such that devotees began to kind of think, well, he's a sannyasi, but should I offer him respect? Maybe he'll fall down. Then all my respects to him will be gone to waste. That kind of mindset. So they are like selective, who to pay respect to, who not to pay respect to. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Amanina mani dena kirtanya sadahari. He's giving us a secret of how to chant the holy names perfectly, and by chanting the holy names perfectly, as I said, all the anarthas which are embedded in our heart will be vanquished by the power of the holy name when we chant the holy name without offense. And what is Mahaprabhu saying? Amanina mani dena. One must not expect any respect for oneself, but one must be ready to respect all others. Now, when Mahaprabhu is saying amanina mani dena, he's not saying a particular category of devotees or Vaishnavas. He's saying all others. This is the translation given by Prabhupada. One must not expect any respect for oneself, but one should be ready to give respect unto all others. Others means everybody comes in that category. So therefore, as a devotee of the Supreme Lord, as a Vaishnava, we should be very, very respectful to every living entity. Thereby we develop this consciousness that everybody is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore they are worthy of my respect, and I will offer them my respect in every which way I can, according to our individual status. But still, nonetheless, it is not a question of just etiquette, but it is actually developing this mindset of being respectful to every living entity. And when we develop this, then naturally good qualities will come, and all the anarthas, all the bad qualities will be vanquished from the heart. Otherwise, we will nurture the bad qualities. And when we nurture the bad qualities, then they become so overwhelming that even though you may be, you know, sincere in your heart that you want to be a devotee because intellectually you understand that this material world is a place of suffering, I want to get out of this material world, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. But in practical sense, you are nurturing these qualities. I was reading this one American Red Indian saying that he was speaking to his grandson and saying this: good and evil in your heart. So the grandson is saying, how do we get rid of the evil and how we can make the good prominent? We say, well, whichever you feed, that will become stronger. So if the evil in us, and the bad qualities in us, if you keep feeding that, they will become stronger and stronger. And the good will be suppressed. And in the material world, we can know it is very easy to suppress good than evil. You know, if someone is a good person, but just someone with even little demonic quality, he can suppress the good very easily or violate him very easily. And we see in the world, all around us is happening. So we have to nurture the goodness in our heart. And this, of course, Mahaprabhu has given us. Amani na mani dena kirtanya sadahari. If you chant the holy name of the Lord with this in mind, that be respectful to all Vaishnavas and all others, in fact, not just Vaishnavas, but very, very be mindful towards the Vaishnava. You know, I remember sitting in this room here way back in 1979. At that time, one of the gurus here was giving class. And when he came into the temple room was full of 90-100 devotees. And then he sat on his Vyasasan there. And the first thing he said with folded hands, I pay my respect to all of you who are gathered here. And that actually touched my heart. Because he's a spiritual master, he's a guru. And he's paying respect to all the assembled devotees in the room. And some of them were his godbrothers. Others were his disciples. And others were aspiring disciples. But nonetheless, he was, with folded hand, he said, I pay my respectful obeisances unto all of you. Even though I'm sitting on this elevated Vyasasan, you are all worthy of my obeisances. Then he further said that the reason I'm saying this is because amongst you, I don't know, could be a greatly elevated soul sitting here. But I have not the vision to see who is that elevated soul. Therefore, in order to avoid offense against that elevated soul or souls, I pay my respect to all of you in that very humble way. So that actually touched my heart. That saying, this is a very, very important aspect he's saying. Because then he said that amongst you could be Narada Muni sitting here. Because, of course, Narada Muni has his ways. Sometimes he takes up different forms which are not recognizable to us. Although none of us have seen Narada Muni in real sense, except we see a depiction of Narada Muni in the paintings. But every painting is a different one. So which one is the real Narada Muni, we don't know. But at the same time, we know from the scriptures, descriptions given about Narada Muni, he comes in many disguises. So we don't know who is who. And at the same time, we may have in our audience someone who is a new bhakta, just joined. Maybe, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks prior to being outside in the material world, he realizes lotus feet of Krishna is my goal. He comes to the temple and we put him in a bhakta house or a bhaktin house. I say, well, you know, we'll train you up. But that particular soul, whether it is a brahmachari or brahmacharini, could be a very highly elevated soul in the previous life. But just a small lapse in devotional practice, that journey onward to the spiritual world is cut short. But Krishna says, I give you another opportunity. So that person comes in that particular body to come and render service to the Supreme Lord and his devotees to finish off the balance of his or her journey back to the spiritual world. So we don't know who is elevated or who is not elevated. Therefore, it is very, very, very dangerous to develop this mindset of becoming a judge, that we cannot judge anybody except ourselves. So generally I say that in the morning when you are in the bathroom, you know, brushing your teeth, and you look at that beautiful face going, of course it's not very beautiful early in the morning because it's a foul smell from the mouth and you know. Anyway, the point is, that person you see in the mirror, you judge that person. Because that person you can judge very, very clearly on the basis that you know that person very well. You know what the person is thinking. You know what is lurking in the heart of that person. In other words, you yourself. I know what is in my mind. Nobody knows what is in my mind. Of course, the Supreme Lord knows, but he doesn't interfere with my mind. What is lurking in the depths of my heart? What are the desires? Nobody knows. So we ourselves know ourselves better than anybody. And therefore, we can become very critical towards ourselves for self-improvement. But we have no right to criticize or come judgmental towards anybody. And if you develop this quality, judge yourself but not others, then you are on a very good spiritual path. Because then the path of spiritual journey becomes very smooth. Because you will only see the obstacles in your path, not obstacles in others' path. But when we start judging others and think, well, you know, Prabhu, you're not up to date. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're not doing this. But what you are seeing in others is manifested in your heart. And what is shortcomings in your heart, you see in others. So this is one way of also looking at it, that if I see something negative in another person, that is my negativeness I'm seeing in that person. So I have to then say, clear my nonsense in my mind and my heart, not the other person. So therefore, when we follow that simple principle of not being judgmental towards anyone, but be respectful to all, then when you are chanting the holy names of the Lord, which is our basic principle of becoming a first-class Vaishnava by taking shelter of the holy name, which is the Yuga Dharma, Kali Kale Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar, that Krishna's avatar, he has come to this material world in his holy name. And that holy name is not different from the Supreme Lord, and that is what we have got to embrace. And when we chant the holy name, we have to be very, very mindful that every time we are chanting the holy name, we do not commit any offense against the holy name or the devotee of the Lord. And therefore, we will become very, very cautious and protected by committing offenses and then getting reaction of the offenses. Because once we commit offense, it is very, very difficult to nullify it. The only way we can do is, as Prabhupada says, we have to pray like mad to the lotus feet of the holy name. And pray, pray, pray that holy name will become so much merciful to us that it will free us from our offensive mentality, offenses committed. So it is a very important aspect of our development of Krishna consciousness that we are conscious and aware. As Srila Prabhupada is saying here, that this story of the elder Brahmana and the younger Brahmana, they are not just Brahmanas, they are Vaishnavas. And we are also supposed to follow in the same line as these Vaishnavas, that we have come to the Krishna consciousness movement by the causeless mercy of the Lord. He has allowed us to come into His shelter. And not only that, but He has given us very mercifully the association of the devotees of the Lord. Because without the association of devotees, it is like walking in the desert for 2-3 days and there's nobody there, not a soul to speak to. And not only that, but then you're dying of thirst. There's no water. And all of a sudden someone comes out of the blue and gives you a chilled glass of water. How much appreciative you would be. First of all, you'll be so much indebted to the person who has approached you with a glass of chilled water. And then second, you'll be the most appreciative of the water which will quench your thirst and free you from your thirst. So Prabhupada is explaining that when we are out there in the material world, we have unlimited souls walking around in all different kinds of bodies, human bodies, animal bodies, birds, plants, bacteria, virus, God knows. In fact, virus is very now the prominent thing, you know. I think more people are chanting Corona, Corona than Hare Krishna in the world now. But anyway, the point is that Corona is also very much eager to take our association. And Prabhupada says that when we are out there in the material world, it's like in the desert. Although there are so many people all around us, but that thirst is not quenched. It's not a thirst of water, but it's a thirst of associating with Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnava, as I mentioned, that they are full of wonderful qualities. And this is what the soul is more attracted to. Even the most demoniac person would be attracted to the beautiful qualities of a Vaishnava. Now, I don't think, at least in my experience or my understanding, is that someone who is of a demoniac nature and quality, he's not going to go look out there looking for someone who has got equally or greater demoniac qualities. So, you know, we can understand from the scriptures, specifically we have a lot of descriptions of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, a demoniac person. Now, he did not go and look for other demoniac persons and to be allied with them. He wanted to destroy them. Why? Because he wanted to be the most demoniac person there. But on the other hand, he is attracted by good qualities. So it is very important that we understand that somehow by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we have been taken out of this dry desert of material existence and we are placed in His shelter where we get association of the highest quality of Vaishnavas. And Vaishnava Sangha is not something which is can be gotten willy-nilly. Only by the mercy of the Lord you can associate with these devotees. And therefore, we should consider ourselves the most fortunate that somehow the Supreme Lord sees in His eyes that we are that recipient of that favor of the Supreme Lord and we have come into the association of devotees. So we should be very, very, very mindful, that we don't take for granted this position which we have been given to associate with the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, if we develop this quality of amanina, amanidena, then our lives will become very perfect. So I will stop here. If anybody has any comments, any questions, feel free.
see through many stories in scripture and also in terms of respect, how it's differently given to people. So it seems that although respect should be for everyone, it's not the same respect we give. So it's difficult to understand how sometimes respect manifests itself in the right way. And also the other point is that respect means that you obviously, as Vaishnavas we understand, is you value someone's spiritual life and relationship with Krishna. So in that sense, you don't want to be an impediment for them and yourself. So how does it work? Because often it is our duty, if we really love and care someone, if they're making mistakes, we respect them, but we don't respect their mistake. And to actually help them, we need to correct them, specifically if we're in that position and we have that duty. So it seems it's very difficult to just give respect in a general way to people. You know, it is very specific. So how does that exactly work?
Well, you see, you have to be careful, you know, that there are certain etiquette you follow. So, you know, just like, you know, we hear from the scriptures that if the king is sitting on his throne and a great saintly person comes, he would get up and pay his respect. Now, obviously, the saintly person, in terms of his position as a saintly person or a devotee of the Lord, is far greater or higher than the king. But still he will get up and offer his respect. So there are certain rules of etiquette. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, amani na mani dena. So in these particular verses from 79 to 89, the young brahmana is concerned that he doesn't want to be the cause of the elder brahmana breaking his promise, because he gave the promise to him. And therefore, if he doesn't fulfill it, then it would be considered that even though the brahmana is a truthful and honest person and he wants to fulfill his promise, but he has been blackmailed or emotionally blackmailed by his son that he will commit suicide, and therefore it will be, you know, next tragedy in the line of actions which would take place. So he is asking the Supreme Lord to come and witness. But the point is that what I am saying is we have to show respect to all, regardless of what the position is. Now, I'll give you two examples here. Prabhupada said, even if one is a Mayavadi sannyasi, we fold hand and just show him respect. We do not condemn him. So in the words of Jesus Christ, he says, hate the sin, not the sinner. So we don't hate the Mayavadi, but we don't agree with his concept of impersonal realization of his, of the Lord. But we do not condemn him. Okay. So we pay respect to him. That's one. Now, as far as I remember, and I'm sure Gauruma Prabhu can vouch for that, that when we join the ashram here, we were trained to pay respect to all the devotees. You know, and we are going down the corridor, you see some devotees, say, Haribol Prabhu, please accept my obeisances. And we do whoop on the floor, Vancha Kalpatrubhyasya, Kripa Sindhubhyasya, Patitanam, Panvi, Vaishnavi, Namonama. You would get onto the floor and pay respect to the devotee. But now, you know, we are walking around and I see the culture is kind of not even acknowledging the person. Say, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You know, you just mind your own business and you mind your own business. Walk around like impersonalists, completely ignoring everyone. Now, we are so fortunate that we are in a position where we have abundance of Vaishnava Sangha. You know, just by just saying Hare Krishna, Prabhu, what is the problem? And then you know, if you're really, really into amani namani dena, then you say, Prabhu, jai, please accept my obeisances. I still remember that, you know, I don't know how many times we have fallen down in the corridors when we meet devotees and say, jai, Prabhu, accept my obeisances, and jai, vancha kalpatrubhis. It's not just physically just doing that, but if you keep doing that, then you're training your mind to show respect. And it becomes second nature to respect. So we should not be thinking that there's different categories of people. No, there's only one category, a devotee, a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is a Vaishnava. Now, I don't think that I would get into the mindset of putting Vaishnava in A category, B category, C category, D category, and then Z category, which is like way down the line, you know, doesn't deserve any great honor or respect. Krishna doesn't look at it that way. When thousands of people come here, walking through the system of taking darshan, and all these people are coming in front of Krishna, Gokulananda is looking and say, here is my devotee. He's not having his secretary saying, okay, check, what is the level of devotion? He sees the devotion. He sees their eagerness to come and take darshan and bow down. Of course, now we have put the sign saying no bowing down. But generally, even folded hands, they kind of make a gesture that I'm bowing down to the Lord. And the Lord appreciates that. Yes, you're bowing down to me. You're a great devotee. So for me, anybody who drives into that front gate to come and see Radha Gokulananda is a devotee of Radha Gokulananda. Now, he's not in my position to judge that person, whether he is this category or that category devotee. He is a devotee. And I am living in this ashram as a servant of Gokulananda. And therefore, I have to serve everybody who comes to see Gokulananda. That is my position. But if I think that, oh, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a guru, I'm going to walk around like, you know, I think, hey, why are you not paying respect to me? Don't you know who I am? And Krishna says, you see, turn around, and that's the gate. Get the hell out of here. And Krishna will make first-class arrangement for me to depart the association of Vaishnavas. So therefore, it is very simple that we do not become, get a mindset of judging people or seeing whether they are worthy or not. Just give obeisances and respects to all. That's what Mahaprabhu is saying. And Prabhupada is translating that. Mani na mani dena. He's not categorizing. Respect to all. Even Prabhupada, the greatest of the greatest acharyas, he is also showing respect to his disciples. And Prabhupada, sometimes you hear someone's lecture, Prabhupada saying that I'm so grateful to my Guru Maharaj. He has sent all of you to help me. And I'm appreciative of that. Prabhupada is so appreciative of his disciples. Prabhupada did not say that you guys were wallowing in the filth of this universe. I picked you out and I gave you Krishna consciousness. No, Prabhupada is so much grateful for these young boys and girls who came. And he's showing us. So Prabhupada himself, as the great acharya, is showing us how to be respectful to everyone. Prabhupada did not say, oh, you are just, you know, just Mr. Nobody's just come out from the, you know, in the sewers of Bowery. And now I've made you into Vaishnavas. So that is why I respect you. Prabhupada was respectful to all. Of course, Prabhupada as an acharya, sometimes he would be heavy because it is his duty to impart knowledge. But even in his heaviness, he was very humble. So we have to learn that simple understanding that respect all Vaishnavas is the bottom line. If you cannot go past that, then you'll never go past any further in your devotional life. You'll be stuck there. So if you really want to make advancement in spiritual life and experience the ecstasy of devotional life and connecting with devotees and Krishna, then we have to go past that stage and see everybody as great Vaishnavas. Now, only yesterday I was reading one statement by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is saying that our great acharyas, and he named two, who are very, very famous in writing very poetic prayers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur. And they are considering themselves as the most fallen, most unworthy And they are crying that I am so fallen and unworthy. Can you imagine describing oneself as a worm in the stool? This is Narottam Das Thakur. So this is my position. Now, Narottam Das Thakur is not an ordinary Vaishnava. He is one of the Manjaris from the spiritual world. He comes specifically to assist to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission. Now, he is taking that mood. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, Hari Hari Bifale Janama, that I am so unfortunate that I am drinking poison knowingly. I am drinking this poison of this material sense enjoyment. And I am bereft of worshipping Radha and Krishna. Who are we? What is our position? So we have to see ourselves as the most fortunate living entities, that by causeless mercy of the Lord, we have been given this opportunity and follow this opportunity. And I, in my own personal humble opinion, amani na mani dena kirtane sadahari, that is the bottom line. If we cannot go past that, then we'll never advance in our spiritual life. Even though you may be an expert scholar and reciting Bhagavatam and giving very intellectual discourses on Bhagavatam, but amani na mani dena is not there, then it is just like crows crowing away, meaningless. You won't attract anybody. But the nightingale, sweet voice, and you go, ah, oh, you're attracted. So if when you are amani na mani dena, in that spirit of offering respect to all others, then when you speak, it will be very nectarian. Even though it may be a very simple statement, it will still touch the heart of the person because it is coming from humility. And humility is the key to the heart of Krishna. If you want to reach the heart of Krishna, then humility is the key. And of course, I'm not saying artificially, saying, oh, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, that is not humility, but it genuinely should come from the heart, that you should feel that actually I am zero. I am insignificant. But it's very difficult because we have an ego which tells us I am someone important. I am a leader. I am a manager. I am a guru. I am a sannyasi. And the worst, I am a devotee. Therefore, should have special privileges. You are not a devotee. You see, that is the mindset which is very dangerous. Okay? Any other comments? Questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.